He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Keiter, chartered financial analyst, on this August the 25th. And it sounds like Powell just made his statement, and we are losing a little bit of the gains in the market since then.
He started at 10:05, so we're competing with him.
Yes, we're competing with Jerome Powell's speech, which will drone on and on and on. The Dow is up 114 right now. That's 0.3%. It was up about 160 or so. The NASDAQ, which was up about 90, is now up 66. It's up 0.5%. The S&P 500 is up 14 points. That's 0.3%. The small caps up about the same. Crude oil's up 93 cents to $79.98. Gold is down $4. The 10-year is pretty flat. It is up 2 basis points, however, to 4.25%. And it sounds like Powell said that inflation is too high, and we have not taken more rate hikes off the table, and that has taken some of the luster off the market. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Who moves the markets more than anybody? Or what moves the markets more than anybody? Is it Elon Musk? Is it, Bob Iger? Or any number of people out there?
Is it a politician?
Yeah.
It's a central bank and interest rates, right?
The Fed has the biggest mouthpiece on Wall Street, even though they're not supposed to really be connected to Wall Street. But Wall Street, when it used to be when, was it Smith Barney speaks? No, let's see. I'm trying to think, remember who it was.
I'll remember that. I know exactly the slogan.
E.F. Hutton, maybe. Yeah. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. No, Jerome Powell or whoever is sitting in that chair. At the Fed. Why do you think there was a big turnaround in the market yesterday? You know, NVIDIA came out with this massive, just the earnings report heard around the world is what they're calling it. And, you know, the market started off in the positive, and then it turned south in a big way. And, I was thinking, what the heck is going on here? Now, some blame that the fervor in AI hit its peak yesterday. It's kind of like buy the rumor, sell the news. This is as good as it gets for AI.
It's like a tired narrative, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not really buying that, although I do think it had something to do with the big change in the market yesterday. But bigger than that, they were watching the probabilities of a rate hike at the next meeting. And the rate and that probability rose to 70% yesterday at some point during the day. Now, that's not something I watch during the day. I guess you can find that somewhere. In fact, Barry, that's your assignment. Find out where, I'm sure on Refinitiv Icon, which we pay quite a bit for, there is a indicator there that has these percentages, the odds. It's dropped back to 50% today. That was before Fed Powell, chairman's speech, and now it's back to, I don't know where it is now, but the Dow is up 94. We've lost about half the gains here, half the gains since Powell spoke or said those words. And the NASDAQ is up 54 today. So I'm just going to say we had a pretty rough day in the market yesterday. The Dow was down 373. The NASDAQ really got clocked. It was down 257. And I think more than just AI fervor dying down, I think it was that that risk of a rate hike meter rising yesterday. That's what did it, and it happened sometime after the market opened yesterday. We also had that fall in Boeing yesterday. That didn't help. Boeing is a member of the Dow and continued selling in Disney. Oh, man, I got a little bit some stats on Disney coming up and just how bad the stock has been performing recently. And, you know, it was pretty much the AI stocks did sell off. Yes, no question about it. That sector got hit more than any other sector yesterday. But it's also the highest PE sector in the market, right? So any talk of interest rate hikes, those highest PE stocks are going to get rattled. So yeah, you had a mixture of euphoria and AI, maybe the bloom coming off the rose just a little bit yesterday, but more than anything, it was the possibility of another rate hike.
Yeah, and that's at the 78.5% right now for a pause at the next meeting. 21.5% in terms of them moving up 25 basis points. And I think we're at a – what's interesting is that the one after that, right, I think we're at you've got in November the chances of a rate hike are basically 50-50.
So there's 50-50.
So there's a better – in other words, right now there's a better chance of a rate hike in November than there is in September. But
yeah, it might have been – okay. It might have been
like
the
pause.
It might have been the November one that rose to 70 yesterday and then dropped back down to 50 because that matches what I'm reading
you're right.
Today.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay. So AMD got clocked yesterday. It was down about 10%. AMD didn't say a word. Nothing happened. There was no news from AMD.
Nothing.
But it is a, you know, it is.
And we were on the search for it, too.
Yeah, I was looking all over the place for any kind of news, and it just seems to be the rate hike and fear and a little bit of AI fervor cooling down a little. Yeah, it was November, okay? So that's what caused the massive turnaround in the market yesterday from up to down. Yesterday, the market priced in another rate hike for the first time since the SVB crisis. That's the Silicon Valley Bank crisis. With chances slightly favoring another 25 basis point in November. Now, it's interesting. Is that a live indicator you're looking at? Because he's made this statement, which is pretty hawkish. Has it moved at all?
I don't know how much this one moved. You know, I know it comes out daily. This is the one that's from the CME, which is the essentially is the futures market.
Okay.
But yeah, so like I said, at currently in earlier, you know, I think it started the week as a 89% chance of a pause. And now we're at a 78.5% chance of a pause for the next meeting.
Okay. But that November one is the one they're watching.
Yeah, November's unique because, like I said, with November, you really have a 50-50 chance of a hike, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in this scenario, right, if it held true and the percentages were right, you'd have a pause in September, and then you'd have a rate hike in November.
Yeah, and that rose to 70% yesterday, and then it dropped back to 50% this morning. So it must be throughout the day, it must trade because it was, well into the market yesterday when we saw that big reversal. And that seems to be it, that indicator right there. Add that one to your list of things to watch during the day. You know, I normally watch the 10-year. That's my major indicator. But it looks like I've got to now check in every so often on that November, I'm going to write that down, November rate hike probability.
I think that's on the 1st. I think we got September 20th, I think, is the next announcement or meeting date. And then, of course, November 1st is the one after that. And then we'll get the last one of the year, December 13th.
So. Now, Powell is either jawboning, kind of bluffing to keep things, to keep a lid on things from, you know, not allowing them to get too hot. I'm sure all of the fervor in the AI, you know, the Fed watches that. They watch for bubbles, and you had quite a bit of fervor there in Bitcoin for a while, which is a big risk on asset. So it could be that he's bluffing and just trying to keep a lid on things, or he's being told what to say. That seems to be more my opinion these days, because, you know, he may be the Fed chair, but he's got mostly, you know, Biden appointees around him. So I don't know. The Dow, the Nasdaq has improved here. It's up 147 right now. And the Dow's up 209, so he must be saying something on the dovish side right now. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Every breath you take, every word you speak seems to be what they're doing today, because the market is just flailing about on every word coming out of Wyoming. They're behind the Tetons. You got the Nasdaq now up just 87. It was up 168 just a few moments ago, and you've got the Dow up 133. It was up 200 just a moment ago. I think that matches the thesis or the truism that we reminded you of. Nobody moves the market like the Fed, and it's really literally every sentence, every word that is coming out of his mouth is being traded upon.
Well, okay. What was odd is I just turned it. You know, during the break, I was trying to you know find his speech live, couldn't, and I'm thinking, is he already done speaking?
He could be.
He started at 10:05. I mean, the last update I have on here is at 10:17. So I'm like, man, I wish I could speak for 13 minutes and get a trip to Jackson, Wyoming.
I think he must be done, because he was making a statement, and he's made the statement, and the market's digested it, and the Dow is now up just 80. It was up 200 just a few moments ago. Okay, how do you bite the hand that feeds you? I don't know. New Maui County lawsuit alleges Hawaiian Electric's negligence caused the wildfire. So I don't know what's going to become of Hawaiian Electric. I mean, they're not a big utility. They have one little area they cover. It's now down to $1 billion market cap. It was about $5 billion before this happened. You could say, well, they pay a dividend. No, they're going to suspend the dividend. The stock is down to $10 a share, and Maui County is holding Hawaiian Electric accountable or blaming them. They're saying it was their negligence that caused the wildfire. Well, you know what? I mean, there's other things, too. I mean, who can control the wind? It's an act of God. Only God controls the winds and whatnot that they had that day. But anyways, they got to find a scapegoat. And, I mean, with 29 down poles.
Just no winner there, you know. I mean, there's no.
It's just a
tragedy, and there's no, I mean, yeah. Folks want to blame folks, and there's certainly, likely some negligence along the lines, you know, at probably a number of different levels. But, it's a tough situation, and as we mentioned, it makes you really rethink those utilities as the old, you know, dividend clipping, retirement-ish, you know, over the years, right? It's always been kind of that, you know, retirement asset that you've, at least in your textbooks for years and years, right, was utilities, and they're not quite as, doesn't look like they're quite as safe as they used to be, given liability, right?
Going to get hurt that owned a Hawaiian. Now, they could have preemptively cut the power, which there's maybe where the liability is, They had a warning from the National Weather Service of high winds and temperatures with low humidity, and they didn't do anything. They could have preemptively turned the power off.
There's problems with that too, by the way. So, you know, because they always, we talk about it here in hurricane season, right? Whenever you're, do you turn the power off or not, right? And sometimes that can create more problems than it helps, right? If you've got people who rely on power from a, whether it's a CPAP machine or who knows what, right?
An iron lung was some kind of life-saving thing. People in the emergency room, I don't know. It's a mess. Okay, now. One of the big items, one of the big subjects coming up in this next election, and it was a big topic at the debate the other night, is our involvement in Ukraine. And, now it's going a step further, okay? These F-16s that are being donated, not by the U.S., but by other countries such as Denmark and the Netherlands, guess where the pilots are going to be trained? Right here in the U.S. We'll be training Ukrainian pilots. I mean, where do you cross the line where this isn't our military, you know? We're training their pilots on jets made by our companies, Lockheed Martin, et cetera.
When you look up at an F-16, you think, to me, maybe that's because I grew up between two Air Force bases, but when you're on the ground looking up, I think of a U.S. plane, right? So, Mike, even if it's from Denmark or wherever, and this has gone on for years and years, obviously the Soviets, helped fund, the other side in Vietnam and many other different theaters over the years in battles and wars. But, it just seems like it's really straightforward. Like you said, we're essentially giving them, we're not shooting the missiles at you, but we just gave it to them to shoot at you. Right?
Well, we were, my father owned a billboard company, and it was in San Diego. We were maybe 5 miles from Miramar Naval Air Station, which is the Top Gun school. So they flew over us all the time. And one day we were out there working, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw a parachute coming down. The pilot landed maybe 100 yards from me in the middle of the street.
Wow.
And the jet came down right across the street from us. It was during a lunch break, and people were at the lunch truck out there. And he was able to at least eject, and that plane came down in the middle of the road. Didn't hurt anybody, but it obviously exploded.
Wow.
Tremendous fire. So I've seen F-16s. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'm thinking those were F-16s.
Yeah, well, in Navy, you probably had F-14s, F-18s, other A-4s, A-6s.
Yes.
Things that can land on
aircraft carrier. Within minutes, Naval Intelligence was there clearing up everything, getting everything out of the way. So that was pretty interesting. Now, they're going to be trained in Texas first. They're going to be taught English, okay? And then they're going to be taught how to fly an F-16.
Yeah, I wonder which one's harder.
Well, they're both difficult.
If I had to learn Ukrainian, I feel like I could probably...
I think learning English is harder.
I could probably do the jet faster than I could learn a different language. So,
they need to learn a different language at Disney. It's hitting a 9-year low. As bearish bets rise, okay? Tesla, a couple of Elon Musk stories. One is just really weird, okay? First, the supercharger business is seen to be grow to a $20 billion revenue monster because everybody's adapting. You know, I thought there would be several players, and the other players such as ChargePoint and EVgo, et cetera, they're tanking, and it just seems like they're going to go to this Tesla model, which is good for Elon. And then at the same time, Elon Musk is being sued, actually not him, but SpaceX, for not hiring immigrants and asylum seekers. Well, maybe they're not rocket scientists. That's what I'm thinking. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow is now negative by 7 points, and the NASDAQ is up just 34. So obviously, by the time everybody digested what Jerome Powell said, it was hawkish. And I don't know, Barry, has that indicator moved at all, the probabilities of a rate hike in November? Have you seen any movement there?
I'm refreshing it right
now. Okay, refresh that thing and see what it says.
Yeah, so we're at 84.5% percent chance of a, looks like of a pause. So we're,
okay.
84% chance of a pause, 15.5%, and that actually went up, right? Because weren't we?
Yeah, yeah. What about November, though?
So let's see here. November is going to be.
That's what tanks
still
the bar.
Almost kind of a 50-50. So we got 51% chance of nothing. And this is what the chances of the rate will be at that point in time, by the way. So in other words, there's a 50% chance, 51% chance that the rate will be exactly what it is today. There'd be a 42.8% chance that the rate will be 25 basis points higher. And there's a 6% chance that there's. It will be 50 basis points higher. So I think what that 6% means is that would include a raise at the next two, 25 basis point raise at the next two meetings. So,
yeah, okay. But, all right, I got to go back to this Elon Musk story just for a minute because I don't know. I mean, I'm just connecting dots in my head. Now, remember, okay, so when was the Republican debate? Wednesday?
Wednesday
night.
Yeah, it seems like it was a week and a half ago, but yeah, just
yes.
On Wednesday.
Now,
night.
Let's not forget that during the Republican debate, of course, Twitter had a little event taking place. Was it X now? It's not Twitter anymore, right?
Yeah, every time I see it written now, it cracks me up because it's X, formerly known as Twitter.
I feel like we're Prince. Remember
again.
The artist,
yeah.
Prince. Okay,
no,
so
exactly.
Tucker Carlson obviously interviewed Donald Trump during the debate and aired it at the same point in time. The very next day, now maybe they're not linked. I don't know. The Department of Justice sues SpaceX, which is owned by Musk. This is just seems really weird for hiring discrimination against asylum seekers and in other words, the people coming across, in the Arizona, Texas border area, and he's not hiring them to work at SpaceX. Well, number one, don't you have to, these are non-citizens technically, right? I mean, SpaceX is doing work for the Department of Defense and there's some sensitive stuff going on there, right? I mean, that's what he is saying, but the Department of Justice is saying, no, they are subject, you are in breach of the discriminating against asylum seekers and refugees in hiring. Just seems kind of weird to me, like, targeting, I suppose you could say, targeting Elon Musk. On all, you're seeing some weird stuff. Well, this is a weird time that we're living in. Very strange.
And it's also, it's just odd even more from the standpoint of, he's been kind of the face, right, especially of the EV space, right? He really kind of, made it, right, at least made it succeed, at least up to this point. And, you would think he would be, touted by the administration versus the other way around. But
you could argue that he's done more for, cleaning up the with all of the Teslas out there and Ukraine is using his technology,
yeah,
space
Starlink
because they have no their internet infrastructure. Okay, I wish I would have been born a Lauder, L-A-U-D-E-R. S.D. Lauder said on Thursday its chairman emeritus, Leonard Lauder, will step down, finally, from the board of directors. He's the son of Leonard, he's the son of S.D. and Joseph Lauder, 90-year-old billionaire. And, of course, his parents founded the company in 1946. It's now a $54 billion company. Someone had a good idea, and he was the CEO for many years, helped take the company public. They helped with acquisitions, including MAC Cosmetics. He's going to step down as the chairman emeritus, but no worries. There's two his kids, grandkids, I guess, through the lotteries, in the wings, Gary Lauder and William Lauder. Lucky kids there. Google and Amazon among 13 potential AI catalysts for the rest of 2023. Morgan Stanley. Okay, I go back to, you know, who was it like the few days before NVIDIA's earnings said, you know, NVIDIA's on the cusp of an AI revolution. It's like, where have you been? 3 months.
Yeah,
and, of course, they maybe they called the top. I think it was Wells Fargo. Maybe they called the top in the stock. Now it looks like Morgan Stanley might be calling the top in the whole sector. They say these 13 stocks are poised the rest of the year. Now, I thought Morgan Stanley didn't like the market, number one. But they're calling out Google, Amazon, NVIDIA, Meta, Snap, Roblox, Unity Software, Take-Two Interactive, and even Airbnb, and even Booking.com and Expedia as big players in the coming AI revolution, AI catalyst. So anyways, Morgan Stanley, a little late to the party, maybe right at the time, at the top of the party, who knows. But Morgan Stanley, I don't know, they seem to be a little off in their timing with a lot of things. Workday, well, I noticed earlier today that the software stocks were doing well because of Workday. The chip stocks were not participating in any rally whatsoever, and neither were the software. The software were doing well, but the chip stocks not participating, and the energy stocks were not participating. Workday's up 2% after a pretty good earnings report. Okay, now we've got Intuit. They also reported Intuit had kind of a down report, but the stock is up 2.1%. Major software company, obviously. $142 billion company with TurboTax and, of course, their books that they do. And everybody, it seems like, if you've got a business.
Yeah, QuickBooks. Yeah.
QuickBooks is using some kind of an Intuit product. Nordstrom's, okay, JWN reported earnings. This has been a really mixed week for the bricks and mortar stores, but I would say mostly down, a bad week. You know, another one I missed out, Petco yesterday got whacked 20%.
Man.
It's down to $5 a share. So I'd be looking for Petco Park in San Diego to maybe going to find a new sponsor, maybe to be in and out, I don't know, something. In and out of the playoffs,
in and
Padres. Somebody else is going to, I don't know that they've got.
I can get an In-N-Out burger at the ballpark. I mean,
yeah.
I might never leave.
No, yeah, they don't have them. But maybe, I don't know, Phil's Barbecue. That would not be real good, the Phil's Barbecue Stadium. JW Nordstrom down 10% today. Of course, Dick's Sporting Goods lost 25% this week in one day. Macy's lost 20%.
And did you know, when you look at Dick's, by the way, I broke down their numbers. Their revenues were, I mean, they were, you know, they're still beat on revenue, right? It's literally that shrinkage, right? The theft piece. And like, it's like,
margins.
If you can't get, I mean, it seems like you would have, I mean, I would almost
hire a security guard.
Yeah, per aisle, it seems like it would be cheaper than losing however much, you know, a third of their margin.
Well,
you know?
How simple is Costco's method, right? Okay, they got two guys at the door.
Check it.
I bet Costco doesn't have a
put a smiley face
and,
on the thing.
And they check everybody. So they're not discriminating. They're not targeting everybody. I don't care if, you know, they're going to look in your basket and they're going to look at your receipt.
And they put it in a big box, so you can't. It's hard to walk out with it anyway, right?
How much do those two people save Costco every single year? You mean to tell me that Target and these other stores can't use the Costco method? Okay, and here's one other one. Kind of the last man standing that's been doing well is all of a sudden starting to come unraveled a little bit. Ulta. Ulta is down 3% today. Not a good chart on Ulta.
Didn't they report?
Yes, they raised their forecast. Everything looked good. But I think, you know, investors in these bricks and mortar stores, we've got to check empty, all right? We've got to check on empty. Gap Stores is doing good. Gap Stores is having a pretty good day. Of course, they own Old Navy and it's a Banana Republic, et cetera. It's up 7.2%. But the ETF empty has had a really good week. It blew up to the upside over the last 3 or 4 days, breaking out. It's down a little bit today, but it's just the sign of the times. One last one, Hibbett. Hibbett, which competes with Dick's on a much smaller scale, it's up 21% today.
Wow. Other direction.
They must be checking people on the way out. Let me see that receipt for that catcher's mitt. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of, you know, it's been a very volatile market during the time we've been live on the air. And I'll tell you, here's what Jerome Powell did. You know, the Snake River is the big river that flows through Jackson Hole. The Snake winds its way. I've been on the Snake River several times. I believe it goes up, yeah, through Montana, and that's the river that Evel Knievel, you know, up in Idaho, he jumped over the Snake River.
Is that the one he jumped over, or
yes,
tempted, or both?
He tempted. The minute he took off, he pulled the parachute, however, but he cashed in a big check, you know, and it was a good pay-per-view thing. So here's what, the Snake River is a cold river. It's not a warm river. It's not the Colorado. Jerome Powell went out and got a big bucket of ice-cold water from the Snake River and threw it right on the market when it was up 200 points or whatever. thanks, Jerome, is what I'm saying. While he's dining on elk steaks at the Cowboy Lodge there in Jackson Hole, they have a restaurant there, restaurant/bar. Every seat, Barry, is a saddle. Okay.
Really?
That's okay. Jackson Hole for you. And the greeting to Jackson Hole is made up of deer antlers. You know, thousands of deer antlers form kind of an arch. So it's a unique little town. And Jerome's enjoying himself. Why, he just threw cold water on all of us in the market. Hoping for a Friday rally. Nope, not to be. So here's what's, I only see a few stocks up in the Dow anymore. It's down 38 points now. It was up 200 till he opened his big mouth. Johnson & Johnson's up 1%. McDonald's is up 0.7. Visa's up 0.7. Boeing, which has had a tough week, been part of the sell-off in the Dow, Boeing is down 1.7. Now, let's not forget the earnings side of the equation, okay? The multiple side of the equation is half of it. Earnings are the other big part, and I'll be updating. Earnings season is now over. It's over. And I will be updating the numbers in today's newsletter, the macro outlook for the market. That's critical because that drives the bus, okay? We'll have some really good numbers for the rest of this year, all of next year, and even a pretty good look into 2025. Okay, over at the S&P 500, Gap is your big winner, up 7.3. But it's been a bad week for bricks and mortar. There's just no question about it. That's an uphill battle. That's a big-time uphill battle. I think there's going to be a few survivors. Walmart, Target's going to survive. But you've seen Bed Bath & Beyond go down. Dick's is kind of the last survivor in the sporting goods. There's a couple other minor players. They might survive. But, you know, a lot of these periphery stores and whatnot, big-time uphill battle there. Dollar General's up 1.8%. Intuit's up 1.7%. But I think it was Dollar General. They were down 10% too this past week. And then Nordstrom's today down 12.4%. Advanced Auto Parts up down 6.2%. Kohl's down 3.9%. Ulta down 3.5%. And over at the NASDAQ, I'm just looking at the big names. Apple is flat. NASDAQ's down 68% right now. AMD is down about 2%. NVIDIA is down about 3%. Microsoft is
up
flat.
About, yeah, and AMD was up 3% when we started the show. So
yeah.
That's the...
So there it is. I mean, Jerome Powell moves the markets. The Fed moves the markets. For whatever reason, I just think, I just don't see much need for any more rate hikes myself. It seems what? Like the inflation's coming down. The economy's kind of wobbly out there. Why would you want to continue to hike rates? It almost seems like he's bluffing.
Well, yeah, it seems like he's, I mean, in they've been using this more, you know, more effectively over the years now that they actually talk versus just, you know, Greenspan showing up with a briefcase. But yeah, you know, they're, that's another tool in the toolkit, right, in terms of the Fed.
Jawboning.
Is jawboning. And it's been, you know, fairly effective, and he's able to at least, you know, effective in moving the market in whichever direction it is. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the probabilities at the moment, an 82.5% chance of no change at the next meeting, even though, obviously, from a mouth standpoint, right, he wants to keep fighting inflation, right? So,
yeah. Well, it just from a logical point of view, it makes no sense to keep hiking rates. So he's either jawboning or... the administration, who they're not disconnected, they have a lot of say in Fed policy, is telling him to keep rates high for some reason. So anyways, that's my take on it. NASDAQ down 73 right now. Okay, well, we'll have a newsletter coming out tomorrow. We'll have a featured stock of the week. I always try to find that very best idea. I'll have an update on the macro outlook for the overall market. We're kind of having trouble with the multiple side of the market this week. The earnings side seems to be pretty set. It's not flailing around like the multiple side, the P.E. ratio side, the forward P.E. ratio side of the market. So we'll have an update on our target price, which has been pretty accurate. Over the last, since 2009, earnings have been going up. That's driven the market higher. And if the market's going to continue to go higher, it's going to have to be driven by earnings. Now, last year we got a big shock to the multiple, but the multiple was way too high at 22, 23. It had to come down, and it did. Now it's more down into the average range, the 5-year average. So if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, see this week's featured stock, go to GundersonCapital.com and also check out the macro outlook. That's the most important part. It's right smack dab in the middle of the newsletter. It drives the bus. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. We're coming to Michigan October 16th, 17th, 18th, near Detroit. Looking forward to that. More details to come. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be right back.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.